The Denver Broncos season ends in a 28-24 loss at home in Power Field at Mile High to the Kansas City Chiefs. Gut punch, I think, for Broncos country. Now we're sitting here. We have to wait a long time until Broncos football is back on the table, ladies and gentlemen. Today we go through the Broncos season ending on death by inches, not to mention what does George Payton do now? And we have a message for Broncos country through the ups and downs of this season and what to look forward to ahead. On today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of Lockdown Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Lockdown NFL Network, your team every day. The Broncos fall at home in their regular season finale to the Kansas City Chiefs, 28-24, disappointing, heartbreak fashion in that fourth quarter. From the South Stands to the end zone, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger. Both of us, we cover the Denver Broncos for the Lockdown Network and Nine News. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get this podcast free and available everywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, give a thumbs up here on this video here, and thank you for making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day for all things Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage. Sarah, my friend, it is over. Don't know where we go from here. Very bummed out. Look, through the ups and downs of this season, man, one thing I guess I always look forward to was being able to talk Broncos football with you and Broncos fans. And now we're not going to have Broncos football on until next season, which is a very, very kind of a bittersweet here.
It really is. And not like there'll be any shortage of things to talk about, but it's still, you know, it's still painful after the preseason, after a 17-game regular season, man, it's all over. Like, that's just wild. I feel like we were just talking about training camp. I feel like I was just out watching training camp, and now here we are. The season is over. The Broncos season is over, unfortunately. You know, potentially all three of the other AFC West teams could be in. We'll see what happens. But, man, it's really tough. It's always tough to just – especially the way the season ended, right? I mean, it's not like the Broncos could have made the playoffs – had they won this game. But I think everybody in Broncos country, you'd be lying if you said you didn't like it when the Broncos beat the Chiefs, as little as that's happened in the last 5-6 years. So I think obviously a disappointing way to end a season, a bitter taste left in everyone's mouth. And honestly, I just think, Cody, a lot left on the table. Even in this one game, even if the Broncos would have finished 8-9 instead of 7-10 and beat the Chiefs in this game, I feel like you just have a different vibe going into the offseason, but it seems like changes could be on the table, so we'll see.
Well, and ironically enough, as you mentioned it, the Broncos season, it ends due to death by inches here, and obviously some late game heartbreak here for the Broncos. One specific play was a game-defining fumble recovery for a touchdown by the Kansas City Chiefs defense, and I see a lot of Broncos country piling on Melvin Gordon. Yes, you got a hold on the football, but there was a blown blocking assignment by Albert Okwuegbunam where Melvin Ingram comes in free. And by the time that Melvin touches the ball, literally he takes one step, gets blasted, and loses it. I don't see how you can be so pissed off at Melvin Gordon, who ran his tail off here for the Broncos in this game, Sarah. So, like I said, I think everyone wants to point the finger and blame. Look, I get it. Football is an emotional game. I think that you're directing your anger at Melvin Gordon in the wrong facet. He competed his tail off. He gave the Broncos a chance. I think they'd still need to bring him back. And unfortunately, one of those missed assignments led to the outcome of this game. I mean, Sarah, you and I were talking about it before we went on and started recording this, is that we feel like in that situation, the Broncos, they have a 21-20 lead at the time. And all of a sudden, you go through and you're like, hey, if the Broncos come away with points on this drive, they punch it in for a touchdown, they might win that game against the Chiefs. Just a lot of missed opportunity. But they also had another chance late in that game, and the Broncos driving the ball downfield. Look, Drew Lock had a very good game, in my opinion. I thought that we saw a lot of progression from him, a lot of stuff that we didn't see from him last year, and a lot of patience. On that last – one of those last drives, you found Tim Patrick downfield for a big-time game, and Tim Patrick obviously stepped up in a big way. But the Broncos, they – 4th-and-9, Vic Fangio decides to go for the field goal attempt there, which makes it a 24-28 game at that point. Not very popular move by the Broncos head coach and what could be his last game in the Mile High City.
And I think what makes it even less popular is the decision that Fangio made a week or two ago to punt the ball with about the same exact amount of time left on the clock, trusting in the defense to get a stop. Instead, the other team is able to just kind of ride the ball downfield for 5-6 yard chunk plays. I believe that was against the Raiders this happened, Cody. when he punted the ball, and the Raiders were able to take the ball down the field. The Broncos seemingly had plenty of time. You got your timeouts, you got the 2-minute warning, yada, yada, yada. And the defense couldn't come up with a stop. And I understand why Vic, you know, he trusts his defense. But to me, Cody, this decision right here is a defining decision for Vic Fangio. I feel like this play, this decision that he made on 4th and 9, and yeah, I get it. I mean, you play the he gave the analytics reason after the game. I won't say excuse, but he gave the analytics reason. You know, 4th and 9, your odds of converting 4th and 9 are just not good. And the time on the clock and yada, yada, yada. I totally understand that, but we're talking about this season is over effectively after this game. So to me, you're playing, you're making a decision that you might make, say, week 7 or week 8 against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. So where, all right, we gotta try to play this as best as we can in order to, you know, let's put the pressure on the defense in this situation with everything, you know, seemingly his job really riding on the line. You take the ball out of your offense's hands, the quarterback's hands, and isn't that really just a microcosm of Vic Fangio's era in Denver, is taking the ball out of Drew Lock's hands? But you take the ball out of Drew Lock's hands and you put the pressure on yourself. And I think for Vic Fangio, I can understand why he did that. At the same time, I just don't agree with that decision at all. I think you take the field goal there. I'm not going to use certain words on this podcast, Cody, but man, it's really frustrating to see that kind of a thing, especially because I think the unanimous sentiment from everybody watching the game is that was a bad decision. And that was just the wrong choice to make. Take a bet on your players. Remember the sound clip that we saw from John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens, where he brings Tyler Huntley over to the side of the field. He's like, "Hey, do you want to go for 2 here and try to win this game?" And he gives the backup quarterback the opportunity to make a game-defining decision with the Ravens' season on the line. They're actually playing for playoff positioning, and he gave the backup quarterback that decision. I think Drew Lock just needed Vic Fangio to give him that vote of confidence there. I get it. The ball could have fallen incomplete. We would have all been questioning. But at the same time, you would have needed the same exact thing anyway. You kick a field goal, you still need a touchdown. You go for it on 4th down and you don't get it, you still need a touchdown. Either way, you still need a touchdown. So to me, Cody, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too, I hated that decision. I think it was the wrong decision, and that particular choice is what's going to leave a bad taste in my mouth. Not the missed blocking assignment from Albert O, not the fumble by Melvin Gordon. It's a decision by Vic Fangio on 4th and 9 to not go for it and to really take the ball out of his players' hands and put everything on his own shoulders.
Well, I think it boils down to what you said, right? He's always been the type of guy that wants to bet on himself, bet on his defense. But look, one thing I pointed out on Twitter, the Broncos in the last 3 to 4 weeks have done a very poor job coming out defensively after halftime, and they've struggled. They've given up big chunk plays. In that first half, the Broncos defense was flustering Patrick Mahomes, a lot of opportunities, you know, dropped interceptions that, you know, you go back and you watch, you're like, wow, you know, if Michael Ojemudia catches the one that just nails him right in the helmet, or Kyle Fuller gets the one, who knows what the Broncos could have done from that standpoint afterwards. But, you know, Vic Fangio in this situation kicked the field goal, banking on the fact that he believes his defense was going to get a stop. When did he do that? He did that against the Chiefs last year, Sarah, on Sunday Night Football, and the same outcome happened. The Broncos couldn't get stops. They go out and they lose the game, unfortunately. You know, I think for Vic Fangio, look, I understand you got to take gambles as a coach, but in a game where, look, the Broncos had nothing to lose and everything to gain, I think, by going out and knocking Kansas City's hopes for a home field advantage out, and not to mention just ending the streak, that's good momentum to go into the offseason. He played it too safe. And as we've talked about here on the show, if you play it too safe in the NFL, often at times it comes back to bite you in the tail. And unfortunately, that was the case for the Denver Broncos as they lose 28-24 in the regular season finale at Empower Field at Mile High. But ladies and gentlemen, Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Sarah and I, we're going to go back and forth. We're going to talk about, what does George Payton do now? Does his decision with Vic Fangio, does it change by how the Broncos played against the Chiefs? Or does he have to make the tough decision, rip the Band-Aid off, and look in a new direction? We talk about it. We weigh the pros and cons coming up here in just a moment. But let me tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos Postgame Report. It's our good friends over there at Built Bar. Ladies and gentlemen, the best tasting protein bar that is out there on the market today. Each bar of Built Bar contains 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. And that is tremendous for something that literally tastes 100% like a candy bar, because the bars are covered in 100% milk chocolate. You get the best of both worlds. Not to mention, they have 9 amazing delicious flavors, including the occasional limited time flavors you get on a month-to-month basis at Built.com. So find a flavor that you or or your family like and get a box sent directly to your doorstep by going to Built.com using promo code LOCK15 at checkout, and they're going to get you 15% off your next order. Once again, promo code LOCK15 gets you 15% off at Built.com. And our good friends over there at the Get Upside app. And ladies and gentlemen, as gas prices rise and fall throughout our country, one thing remains the same. And that means that you'll never have to pay full price at the gas pump ever again with the Get Upside app, which is free to download in the Google Play or the Apple App Store. The Get Upside app gives you 25 cents per gallon cash back every single time that you fill up your tank. And if you sign up today and use promo code Touchdown, they're going to give you an additional 25 cents on top of that. So for your first tank fill up with the Get Upside app today, if you download it and use promo code Touchdown, you're going to get 50 cents per gallon cash back for every gallon that you use to fill up your tank today with the Get Upside app. You get the points instantly, and they make it easy for you to cash out. You can simply connect your bank account, PayPal, or you can connect to other e-gift card brands like Amazon and other brands today. Cash out today with the Get Upside app and never pay full price at the gas pump ever again. Free with the Get Upside app. All right, Broncos country, we're getting to the second half action on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. We asked the question, what does Broncos general manager George Payton do now? Now, I know immediately after the game, Sarah, a lot of Broncos fans are like, all right, hey, fire him now. Get it over with now. I don't think that you do that just on the instance of good faith and how you operate as a GM, right? There's a right way to do it. There's a professional way to do it. And more than likely, what we could see is the time of this recording, no move has happened for the Denver Broncos. It's definitely leaning towards the fact that Vic Fangio will more than likely be gone. But you bring him into the office on Sunday, you have the conversation, you talk, and then you explain why you make the decision that you did. Or, I mean, there is still a chance that George Payton keeps him on staff, which I know that Broncos country and a lot of fans, they are not for that. And look, I think obviously 14,000 no-shows at the stadium on Sunday, very disappointing. Broncos country, look, seriously, if you're not going to go to the games, give me your season tickets. I will gladly go. Even if they suck, I will go every single day in the snow, wind, tornado, lightning storm, whatever it may be. I love football. So look, if you're not going to go, give me your season tickets. I know there's a lot of Broncos country fans that would love season tickets. The wait list is crazy. But Sarah, you know, if you're George Payton, what do you do? Like, what would your process be if you were in his shoes right now?
Man, if I was in George Payton's shoes, and I think you make a great point too, Cody, if you got tickets to the game, I mean, show up to the game. That's just dumb. But on the other hand, if I'm George Payton, here's the deal. Like, I signed on last offseason to be the general manager of this team, okay? I didn't hire Vic Fangio. And that's not to say that I think George Payton gave Vic Fangio a really, really good shot to prove that he could be the guy that George Payton moves forward with. But I think this was a one-year audition, and I think George Payton, for him, like, not necessarily that he's already looking 2-3 years down the line, but you've got to think, like, you roll into 2022 with Vic Fangio as your head coach. The perception for a new owner coming in is already that the fan base is fed up with Vic Fangio. So you make the decision to go with him again just because you guys became, you know, good working relationship, maybe even good friends over the course of the last year. I don't think that's a justifiable reason to move forward. We could look at a number of different reasons why it would be wise for Payton to move forward. And the number one reason being, obviously, you know, even if Vic Fangio does come back with a different offensive staff, you might just be working towards the offensive staff that gets brought in. Hey, let's say they have great success. They're just going to leave and go be somebody else's head coach in a year or two. And I know you can't really necessarily think that way, but to me, if I'm George Payton, I want a long-term solution at the head coach position. And I don't know necessarily that Vic Fangio can be that. And I think we have enough at this point to determine whether or not he really should be given that chance. And so I don't know where you stand with that, Cody. I don't know if you feel like this game in particular had any weight towards that, or if you felt like maybe this game in particular was a kind of just more evidence of, hey, this is not necessarily the final nail in the coffin, but confirmation of why we might make this move.
The first half, I was convinced, like, you know what, hey, the players are coming out, they're fighting really hard, they're competing, they're flying around with energy, minus that first defensive drive where they gave up a touchdown, they buckled down after that. But I kind of felt like, okay, hey, you know, this is probably the reason why, like, if George Payton brings back Vic Fangio, this will probably be it. But then as you get through the game, right, late in that third quarter, early on in that fourth quarter, you start seeing these, you know, some of these things that have been an issue for Vic as a head coach in terms of game management, decision-making, things like that. And now you're starting to think like, okay, this is probably the reason why he's not going to be back next season as the head coach. Look, I think Vic is a phenomenal defensive-minded coach, and Broncos country right now is so split. They're debating back and forth, and all these potential candidates that could be the next head coach, and they're like, well, we need an offensive guy. Well, we don't want to have a defensive guy. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. You want a head coach that is going to be the best leader for your team, the best overall guy, regardless if he coaches offense or defense. Because if he's a really good coach, he's going to bring in a staff. He's going to assemble a staff that's going to play to the strengths of the players in those areas. It doesn't matter if the head coach is offensive-minded or defensive-minded. There's always going to be a coach out there that literally leans either offense or defense. But in the process, you need to make sure he's the right guy for the job that can lead a team and that entire locker room there. And Vic Fangio, one thing you mentioned in his press conference was something about the foundation. He was asked what that foundation was. And I think it's evident, Sarah, and I think Broncos country will agree. This is a Broncos team that fought all year long. I didn't see them roll over once and just accept what was happening. They fought, they competed their tails off, and that's a resiliency, right? And so I like to think of this analogy here. If you have a strong foundation, you know, in a house, right? Let's think about a house. Houses have strong foundations. You know how many people move in and out of houses all throughout that house's duration, right? So if you build a really strong organizational foundation and culture, it doesn't matter who comes in as long as they uphold that standard, as long as they continue to do that. And a lot of it starts with these players. These players, they uphold that standard. And I would say that the Broncos in this game, sir, they went out kicking and screaming, which has been something we've been talking about for quite some time. So it doesn't matter if somebody moves out, the next person that moves in will have to preserve that, but the foundation is there already for this Broncos football team. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's spot on. I really do. And that's something that I think the next head coach is going to have to look forward to potentially. And I don't mean to speak in terms of like things are already a foregone conclusion. Yeah. We don't know. But I do, like you said, I think it's kind of trending that direction. And so, and I trust fully Cody. I do in George Payton. I feel like he's going to be a very, very good general manager for a long time. He's so highly respected. We've seen evidence from the top to the bottom of this roster. I would say that Patrick Surtain II may be the best player on the team right now. I would say that, you know, that George Payton has done a great job of developing and solidifying and adding depth to this roster. You can trust him with player personnel moves, but I'm really interested to see what would his plan be if he had the opportunity to create his own coaching staff. If he had the opportunity to go out there, pick his guys. We know there were rumors from years ago that Dan Quinn wanted George Payton to come with him in his next head coaching destination before he was hired by Atlanta, obviously with Thomas Dimitroff. So I think there's connections there. But at the same time, I want to see George Payton keep an open mind in any prospective search. And I think you're right. The foundation is there. Vic Fangio did do some good things in terms of culture building. You know, the Broncos don't commit as many penalties as they did in the Vic Fangio, or not the Vic Fangio, but the Vance Joseph era, pardon me. They were committing penalties left and right under Vance Joseph. That has been significantly cut down under Fangio. And I think obviously player development has been better. So you look at those two things, and I think that is a culture that you can continually ride. You have players now on the team who have been developed by veteran coaches that you can honestly say, like, those players can carry that mantle. They can say, hey, this is what we did differently at, you know, with Fangio around here. This was kind of our habits. This is how we worked. So you have a head coach that's going to be able to come in with a very, very strong roster. And I think that's what Vic Fangio, you know, he's leaving behind potentially. He's leaving behind a very good roster, an improved culture. And I think overall a team that, as we've said many, many times, Cody, they're a quarterback away. And that may be Vic Fangio's greatest argument for sticking around. We're a quarterback away, right? I mean, that's way easier said than done. And I don't know if Fangio's the guy. If the Broncos have to draft somebody, it's kind of like if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're like, hey, I want to have kids someday. And the other person's like, I don't want to have kids at all. You may really like that person. You may even love that person. But if you don't share the same view on those type of things, you can't be with that person because one person wants kids, the other person doesn't. Damn. It's the same to me with Vic Fangio as a head coach. He doesn't want a young quarterback. We can tell. We can see that. I mean, that the proof is in the pudding. And if he says anything to the contrary, I would say, you know what? The perception is my reality in that case. But Vic Fangio clearly doesn't want a young quarterback. And if George Payton says, look, like, I might want a young quarterback, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, you spot on. That's a great analogy too, by the way. And look, Broncos country, there's a multitude of ways that this could go. Obviously, we're going to have you covered here, Lockdown Broncos. But, you know, coming up here in just a moment, Sarah and I, we're going to give a little bit of a message to Broncos country. We're going to talk about this season, the ups and downs, but more importantly, give you a reason why you should be optimistic towards the future. We're going to give you that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about the other sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. It's our good friends over there, betonline.ag. And ladies and gentlemen, BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march towards the playoffs and beyond, BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website where you can sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, LOCKEDON, to get started from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and your UFC and MMA action right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Sarah, as we jump into the fourth quarter action on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, the Broncos season ends. But ladies and gentlemen, we have some good news for you. Even though the Broncos season has ended, that doesn't mean that our season ends together. There's always football conversation all year long. In Lockdown Broncos, both Sarah Bettinger and myself, we have you covered literally every single day, all year long, all things Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage. We love to involve you, the fans, and the listeners here on the show. If you're watching us on YouTube, it means the world that you're interacting with us. A lot to talk about, a lot to be excited about. You know, Sarah, kind of going back to a message for Broncos country here, as the season is officially over for the Broncos, no playoffs. I don't think that this is going to last forever. Now, obviously, it feels like forever since the Broncos have done anything. Obviously, 6 years feels like more like 60 at this point here. I do want to go back to a point, and I understand where Broncos fans are coming from. Obviously, the 14,000 no-shows at Empire Field, a mile high. I think the perception is that it sends a message. I think it sends a perceptional message, but it doesn't hurt the team because those tickets are already paid for. The Broncos have an ongoing, consistent sellout streak. But here's the deal, Broncos country. Like, where did things go in terms of fandom? Like, the Broncos have won 3 Super Bowls in their existence, which is far more, like 3 more than most, you know, most teams in the NFL have ever gotten the opportunity to even attend. Where have we gone as fans? I don't know if it's the social media, the instant gratification type of moment here, but we're all of a sudden, we don't support the teams anymore. And I think that's so frustrating. I mean, there were not a lot of fans out pregame throughout the stadium, outside the stadium, at the tailgates. That to me was so, it was kind of demoralizing, Sarah, because look, I think one thing unites all of us, right? We always talk about united in orange as Broncos country. I felt like this has been a division of the fan base for the last several years, and I'm hoping that Broncos country can come back together. As frustrating as it has been to watch this team go through their ups and downs and miss out and miss their moments, we love football. Being at Empire Field a mile high on Sundays where it's roaring and, you know, passes falling complete and the fans chant, in, come, please. That's what we live for, Broncos country. We love football. That's what brings us all together. If anything, look, despite the up and down season, I've loved doing this podcast with Sarah. I've loved doing this podcast to talk to you in Broncos country. It means a lot, especially as a member of the media. I mean, it's a different interaction, I think, that most people get, that I think that Broncos fans can get a really personalized access here on the show. I just want to say thank you, Broncos country, despite the frustration, despite the ups and downs. Love you guys. I seriously do. Sarah, I don't know how I can top that anymore. I don't want to, you know, keep rambling for no reason, but I felt like I had to get that out of my chest.
I love it, Cody. It's spot on too. I mean, we love the fans. We love that you guys engage. We love that you listen. We love that you participate along with the show. It's amazing for us to see. And honestly, like, I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, we get to work, not something my daughter's like, so you work for the Denver Broncos? I'm like, I don't work for the Broncos, but man, like, the Broncos, they help me make money, which is awesome. And I don't do this for money. Like, anybody listening to this show that's been around me for any amount of time understands that, like, I love the Denver Broncos, and I do. And I love that I'm able to be on the show and bring, like we talk about all the time, like, I'm not bringing a necessarily biased or any sort of analysis that comes from a place of, you know, that vantage point. But here's what I'll say, Cody, in everything with the no shows to the game and the mentality of Broncos country going into the season, I feel like Broncos fans don't understand. And this is a benefit that I think you and I have of covering the entire NFL. Broncos country does not understand what it means to go through a life cycle in the NFL. And to be honest with you, like, there's other teams in the league that have gone so deep into these black holes of terrible football. Like, think about the Cleveland Browns, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, they ceased to exist as a franchise, you know, more recently than they've done anything remotely relevant. So I feel like Broncos country, yeah, this is a tough stretch. Like, 6 seasons, it's tough to not make the playoffs. It's tough to hear ESPN. I was working out today, Cody. I hear ESPN. I'm like, the Broncos are the first team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl and then miss the playoffs in the following 5 or 6 seasons. I can't remember what they said. But, I mean, that made my heart sink a little bit. And that does stink. That's not fun to be part of. But look, you're fans for a reason. you're a fan for a reason, not because you support losing, but because you bleed orange. You're united in orange no matter what. And so to me, that doesn't necessarily mean not being happy. You don't have to just put on a smile at every loss and be like, all right, well, whatever. I love the Broncos, so it doesn't matter. The passion should be there after a loss. But to think that the people in charge of the Broncos right now don't want the team to win, I think is silly, Cody. I feel like the people in charge of the Broncos, obviously they want to do whatever it takes to win. They've taken so many swings at players. Remember, there was rumors that we were trying to bring in Tony Romo back in the day. I mean, the Broncos have tried to uncover just about every possible scenario that they could in order to bring a quarterback into this building so that this team can get back to doing what they did right here, win Super Bowls. And I know that they want to do that. I just don't understand why fans don't resonate with that. Like, they're trying to get there. They're not trying to lose. And maybe they don't have the right people in place, but I don't think, not showing up to the game is a way to necessarily show.
Yeah.
I feel like we got to be right now. I mean, more than ever, Cody, we got to be united in orange. We got to be there for the team. And not that you just have to put on a fake smile, but man, it is time, I think, for the fans to sort of galvanize. Not everybody, but so many people have gotten so cynical, so negative, that a lot of Broncos country has become toxic. But man, if things, one move happens, things could turn around really quickly.
We're going to be in store for a very wild offseason, Broncos country. Buckle up, strap in, hold on for the ride, because Sarah Bettinger, myself, we have you covered every single day all year long with all things Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage. Unfortunately, the Broncos season ends, and hopefully next season, Sarah, is a different story. Hopefully next season, we're sitting here, 2 weeks after January, talking about a playoff game, talking about the team potentially getting back on track, maybe towards the Super Bowl. That's one thing I always look forward to. And as long as there is another season, there's always another chance for the Broncos to get it right, sir. And look, I'm very fortunate to do this show with you. Broncos country, we're very fortunate that you tune in to listen to Lockdown Broncos for your first listen of the day, every single day. With that said, that will conclude today's episode of Lockdown Broncos. Unfortunate post-game report, morning Monday coming up. But obviously, maybe the Broncos are going to make some moves. And Sarah Bender and myself, we'll have you covered. If the Broncos make a decision on the head coaching job here, you get it at the Lockdown Broncos podcast, free and available everywhere. You get your podcast, and here on YouTube. We'll see you next time, Broncos country.